Please help me welcome Babe all the way down from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hey, I'm Dave Perry. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey.
I want to thank this, Eric and all you guys here at the Penn Foundation for giving me the honor to come here for a few minutes and share my experience, have me down to carry this message. My home group is the Dorchester Saturday Night Group, meets tonight back in Boston. I come down for the weekend, and part of the weekend was to spend this time here with you. For that, I thank you. It's an honor. My sobriety date is November 15, 2001. You'll see I'm not a sitter. I move a little bit.
No microphone.
Move. November 15, 2001, a little over 8.5 years ago, I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I say I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous a little over 8.5 years ago because I've been here before. It wasn't my first time, you know. I didn't walk through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. November 15, 2001, happy, joyous, and free. I didn't roll in here on the crux of a winning streak. I didn't hit the lottery and come to AA. You know what I mean? I didn't wake up in the morning on November 15 and say, geez, I think I'll get sober today. It wasn't my plan. I didn't wake up in the morning on November 15, 2001 and say, my God, my life is absolutely destroying itself. I'm burning everything good to the ground yet again for the second time. I've destroyed every real relationship I have in my life. That's over. They're gone. Every material position I have has disappeared. My career is in shambles. My family's in tears. Jesus Christ, I should probably do something about this. I didn't wake up saying that morning. That's not how it started for me. I came back on November 15, 2001 to a series of events that I did not create and I did not ask for to happen in my life. And from that day, guys, to this, I've been living a plan not my own. Some force in my life has taken over. And my will got yanked out of the way, ripped right out of the way, to be quite honest with you. And I got set on a path. I got set on a path that's been ordained and designed and planned and charged by a power greater than myself. I didn't plan this out, you know. I say I came back to AA because Friday, November 15, 2001, I'd be in and out, 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 in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous for 12 years. I was a chronic relapser. I couldn't understand what you people were about. More often than not, when I was here, in places such as the Penn Foundation and many like them across the way, I had been many along the way in my 12 years. Every time I was here, I was here because some force in my life had me here. Every time I was here, I was here because something in my life brought me here, and I tell you the truth, when it comes right down to it, to be quite honest, I didn't want to be there. I was here because my job had me here. I was here because my family had me here. I was here because the courts had me here. Some force in my life had me here, and I didn't want to be here. You know? I can relate to anyone in this room who's sitting here saying, my God, when is this going to be over? I can relate to anyone in this room sitting here saying, my God, when am I getting out here? I gotta get a drink, you know? I can relate to anyone who's sitting in these rooms knowing they're not done. I've been there. The book is real clear. If you're not done, go get done. I get it. In the meantime, while you're here, welcome, welcome, hang, stick with us. Maybe it might change. You might change your mind. Something in your heart might change. Did it for me along the way. It took a while. But for 12 years, I'd be in and out, in and out, in and out. And every time I was here, every stretch of sobriety I had, and I don't care whether it was a week, a month, a year, or almost 3 years at one point in the 90s when I was here in those 12 years, every stretch of sobriety I had was always had a few common characteristics. Number one, like I said, I was here because I didn't want to be here. Number two, somewhere in the back of my mind, I knew I wasn't sticking and staying. I know how to quit drinking, guys. No doubt about it. I've done it 1,000 times. I know how to quit. Can you show me how to stay quick? Can you show me how to not start again? How about that? Hey, how about this? Can you show me how to stay quick and stay comfortable doing it? Can you show me that? I don't know how to do that. Show me how to stay quick and stay comfortable and not get restless, not get irritable, not get discontent, not get suicidal. Show me how to do that. That's what I got to show. That's what I got to learn how to do. Every time I came here during those 12 years, I could never get comfortable, I could never get sober, I could never get happy, I could never get it to fit. And one other thing came to mind every time I came here during those 12 years. I was miserable. Straight up miserable. I'll tell you straight up. I felt like I was sentenced to sobriety. Can you relate? I felt like I was sentenced to Alcoholics Anonymous. Like coming to these rooms and these meetings, these hallways with some sort of a sentence. I'm looking around on a daily basis the whole time I'm here. I'm going, oh my God, please tell me there's more to my life than this. Is this what it's come down to? If all I had to look forward to was hot coffee on gold medal chairs, high numb church faces the rest of my life. Shoot me now. I'm not going to make it. And I knew it. You know, I knew it. So that was what my sobriety was like when I had sobriety for those 12 years, in and out, in and out, in and out. Yet here I stand today. Here I stand today, September 11, 2010, almost 9 years sober. And here I am also standing here today to report to you. And I didn't drive all the way out to Sellersville, Pennsylvania. Is that where we are?
Yeah.
Sellersville, Pennsylvania. I didn't drive all the way out to Sellersville to lie to you. No need for me to do that. I got better things to do. I'm over almost 9 years sober. And I can report to you that I'm happy and joyous doing it today. I'm happy and sober in the same sentence. Go figure. How is it and why is it that I can tell you I'm happy and sober in the same sentence today, when before for 12 years I could never fit those two words together in the same sentence? How is it? Why is it? What is it? What makes the biggest difference that I can see in here today and tell you if that's the case? It comes down to one thing and one thing only for me. Every time I speak, I'll zero right in on it. I hit it right on the nail. It comes down to one word. Hear me, guys. Sponsorship. Sponsorship. This time around, I got a sponsor. This time around, God put a man in my life who became my sponsor. God-inspired, God-centered, God-directed, God-driven, God-conscious, who was 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. A guy who came into my life when I was 8 months sober this time around. I was 8 months sober again. Untreated sobriety, untreated alcoholism, miserable in my sobriety, sent to Alcoholics Anonymous. 8 months holding my breath in Alcoholics Anonymous, just figuring it's just a matter of time before I'm going to drink again. And God put this guy in my life. A guy who told me the truth from the start. A guy who told me he didn't care what I thought, didn't care what I felt. My feelings and my thoughts were not his concern. If what he had to say offended me, he didn't care. It wasn't his concern. He was going to show me what to do in this field if I wanted to show it to me. And if I was willing to do what he did, I would get what he got. And he made it that plain. He made it that simple. He made it that plain for me to hear. He told me the truth. He loved me enough to tell me the truth. He told me the truth. He said, I've got to step on your toes before I stand in your grave, Dave. I'm going to tell you the truth. You've been lying all your life, and people have been lying back. It's about time you heard the truth. And he told me the truth of the matter is this. This is a program for the people who want it. Needing what we have means absolutely nothing. Trust me, guys, I am not here to sell you a thing. If you do not want what we have, I get it. I've been there. I understand. I'm cool with that. If you don't want what we have, don't worry. You ain't going to get it. You know, it's okay. Relax, kick back, we'll take care of you. You know, but it's a program for people. God knows I needed it. For 12 years I needed it. For 12 years I've watched you destroy everything I got good in my life right in front of me, disappearing over and over and over again. I needed what you people had, but until and unless I was ready to take some action in this deal, and until I was less desperate enough to do so, it wasn't going to work for me. This is a program for the people who want it. If you don't want this thing, I can't say the right thing to anyone in this room who's not ready to hear this message. It's impossible. It's a principle. You can't say the right thing to someone who's not ready to hear what I got to say. But by the same thing, you can't say the wrong thing to someone who is. Thank God. You know? When the God in you touches the God in me and the magic we call recovery kicks in, when one alcoholic reaches out to another alcoholic for the sole purpose of recovery, that's undeniable. You can't say the wrong thing. My sponsor told me it's a program for the people who want it, Dave. And if you want what I got, I'll show you how to do it. You know, you've been lying all your life, and people have been lying back, it's about time you heard your truth. I'd rather step on your toes before I stand in your grave. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know what else he told me? He pointed out in this book. He said, you know, Dave, this is a book. It's got a set of directions to follow. It's got a set of directions. Just an account, just a report of what the first 100 men and women did. But there's clear-cut, simple, precise directions in here. You know, the problem was, you guys, for the 12 years when I was here, I found that this book, you know, I here's my experience here, let me just say it this way. This book is not hard to read. These steps, they're not hard to take. This path is not hard to follow unless you're reading it alone, taking them alone, or walking it alone. And that's what I was doing all those years. I was doing this thing on my own. I was doing this thing all by myself. My sponsor pointed out, this book tells me that we suffer from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Only a spiritual experience. We've got to get one. I guess I got to get me one of them near spiritual experiences. I got to find me a spiritual experience. And I have no idea what one is. I have no idea what one feels like. I have no idea what one is even defined as. And I have no idea how to get one. But this guy told me, 12 steps tells us, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. The result, not a result. I didn't get a spiritual awakening as a result of these meetings. I got a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Okay? That's what I wanted. For 12 years, I thought I could do otherwise. He told me only a spiritual experience will conquer this deal. Guys, hear me. We are not going to conquer this illness with knowledge. We do not suffer from an illness which is conquered by knowledge. We suffer from an illness which is conquered by one thing and one thing only. Action, action, and more action. It's a program of action. My recovery is not in my head. It's not what I think. It's not what I feel. It's not what I say. It's not what I read. It's not what I study. It's all about what I do. If that means jumping in my car in Boston, Massachusetts, and driving 8 hours to Sellersville, Pennsylvania, to stand in front of you guys on a beautiful Saturday afternoon in September, well, damn it, then that's what I'll do. It's about what I do. It's not about what length am I willing to go through for my recovery. It's about what length am I willing to go through for yours. So I can see you get an 11-month chip. So I can come to the Penn Foundation and talk to someone who may be supposed to hear what I have to say. I don't know who's here to hear what I have to say. And I'm here just like my sponsor. I'm not here to study a thing. The book has been clear. If you're not done, go get done. This thing works a hell of a lot better when you're done. I was here for a long time when I wasn't done. Preamble says that the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. Well, for a long time, I didn't have that. I didn't have one of those desires to stop drinking. I had bosses who had a desire I stopped drinking. I had parents who had a desire I stopped drinking. I had a lot of judges who had a desire I stopped drinking. But I didn't have it. Until unless I got it, to say this is not going to work for me. You know? I look at those 12 years when I was in and out, in and out, in and out, you guys. And I see, what was I doing back then? I had changed up a little bit. Well, one thing was, here it was. I'm 29 years old. It's 1989. It's a little over 20 years ago when I first walked in. Okay? On the outside, here's what you would have seen. You would have seen me practicing law on the North Shore of Boston. You know, I worked for a great law firm. I was doing pretty good as an associate with that law firm. I dazzled them in the courtroom. I could do my job. I did it pretty well in those days. Well, I was able to do it pretty well. There were a lot of days when I wasn't able to do it very well, though, to be quite honest. You would have also seen me drive a nice car. I was wearing nice suits. I had all the toys and trappings of my success. You know, and I would have made sure you heard about them the second you met me. If you met me at a bar, within 3 minutes, you'd hear all about that, you know. Very important. Get that right at you, you know. But what you also would have seen had I met you, or even had I known it was there, to be quite honest, was a hole in the soul this wide that all the drinking, all the drugs in the world didn't seem to be able to fix. You know, I couldn't fill it. I couldn't fill that hole, you know. So I come in here in 1989, I'm 21, 29 years old. I'm here simply because I'm about to lose my job. My boss is saying, you get sober, you get out. So I came out there from Pennsylvania to a 28-day rehab. I spent 28 days out there. I had a lot of God-inspired men and God-inspired women carrying me a message of hope, a message of love, a message of unconditional love and service, a message of the 12 steps, a message of God. They were put right in front of me, and the message was clear, and I heard none of it. None of it. I heard none of it. I wasn't ready. You didn't want what you had. You know? So in 1989, when I get back to Boston, I'm coming to your meeting because I got to, you know, I'm not going to get a thing out of it. Plus also, I come in here thinking I know more than all you people combined, so I don't need your help. I don't need your guidance. I don't need your direction. I don't need your sponsorship. Your big book was two big thanks. I wasn't reading it, you know. I didn't need that thing. I don't have time for that, you know. I thought I could do this thing on my own. I thought I could figure it all out by myself. Thanks very much. I don't need your help. Thank God I finally figured out, guys. There's nothing to figure out. It's all been figured out for us, you know. I need to learn that. I also had some guy pull me aside at the end of one meeting back in Boston and said, David, come here. Can I ask you a question? He goes, is anyone helping you? Get sponsored? Somebody showing you what to do here? I go, hell no, I'm fine. He goes, let me just say something to you, Dave. I never met anyone too dumb for this program, but my God, we bury butt heads like you all the time. Guys are too smart for their own good. What's the matter? I won't take a little direction, a little guidance, a little sponsorship from someone who maybe knows a little bit more about these 12 steps than you do, knowing absolutely nothing about them walking in here, Dave. How about that? Someone who maybe knows a little bit something about this program of recovery that you do. Here's the second mistake I made, you guys. I came in here convinced drinking was my problem. And let me just say, for the sake of this conversation, when I talk about the drink, I'm talking about the drink, the drug, and all the things like it. Because the drug and all the things like it fell right behind the drink for me. So let's just wrap it all up in one big ball and call it a drink for this conversation. Everyone was telling me I had a drinking problem. Everyone in my life was telling me I had a drinking problem. I got my parents telling me I got a drinking problem. My brothers and sisters telling me I got a drinking problem. My best friends in my life, who by the way are no longer in my life today, were trying to tell me I had a drinking problem. Begging me to do something about it. And I wasn't hearing it. Refusing to do it. You know? You were calling me on the most important thing in my life is what you were doing. You see, when you're doing that, you know, I had to do one or two things. When my best friends were calling me on my drinking like they were doing so many times, I had to do one or two things. Number one, I got to talk you out of your position, you know, so we could hang. Or two, I got to get you out of my way. Because what you were doing, you were messing with the most important thing in my life. As a result, I walked right over, by, and around those friends, and I left them in the lurch. They are no longer in my life today. But they were telling me I had a drinking problem. My co-workers, my bosses, My clients are telling me I have a drinking problem. I got a drinking problem. So what I figured is this, you guys. I figured that all I got to do is if I just take the drink out of the equation, problem solved. Problem solved. Just stop drinking. My sponsor this time around said, you got a drinking problem? Quit drinking. Quit drinking. And if after you quit drinking, you find you still have a problem, well, maybe the drink was the problem to begin with, Dave. Maybe you are the problem. I ain't a silly means now. You know, if you're in this room today, I can only assume you haven't had a drink today. Just an assumption. You know? You probably haven't put a needle in your arm today. Just an assumption. Crack pipe to your lips? Probably not. Just an assumption. So if that's the case today, then you've got to agree with me. How can drink be your problem today? You haven't had one. How can alcohol be your problem today? You haven't drank any. How can crack, how can heroin be your problem today? Ain't. Couldn't be. You haven't done it today. You're here, you're sick. You see, here's what I did. I thought drink was the problem, take the drink out of the equation, problem solved. If you're the whole and the soul alcoholic, guys, if you're the real alcoholic, if you're the alcoholic of the hopeless right that this big book talks about, and that is me, you see, guys, when you take my drink away, you don't just solve my problem. You didn't just solve the problem. You kidding me? When you take my drink away, that's when my problem is just beginning. You just started the problem. You just created the problem. But now what? A drink that will allow me to step onto a world which would otherwise terrify me. I can walk smooth with a drink in my hand. Did it for 30 years. Everywhere I went, I had one blasted to my hand. Now you take it away, and I'm supposed to be okay. I'm supposed to be fine. I wasn't a problem drinker, guys. I was an answer drinker. Life was a problem. Drinking was the answer. That was what it was. That's the way it went for me. Drinking was not my problem. It was my solution. I didn't have a problem drinking. I had a problem sober. That's where my problem lay. I had a problem sober. I don't know how to live sober. You're taking away the one thing that gives me relief, the one thing that makes it okay, the one thing that makes me hang out, the one thing that makes me comfortable with you and the rest of the world is to drink, and you're taking that away, and I'm supposed to be okay? I made a mistake. I was solving the wrong problem. I was solving the wrong problem. On November 15, 2001, I was arrested by the federal government. That's what happened on the morning of November 15. That's what happened that morning. You know, that's how I got back to you guys, back in November. As a result of that, I got thrown into jail. As a result of that jail, I got a little desperate. The greatest gift that God has ever given to me, the greatest gift that I've ever received, the gift of desperation. As a result of that arrest, I got desperate enough to finally become willing to do something to change my life. My life did not begin to change, guys, until I began to change. And I didn't begin to change until this whole thing started to happen. I'd spend a little time in jail, and then they took me out of jail, and they put me into treatment. And into treatment, I would go to a detox for 10 days. I went off to a place called the Miller House in Cape Cod, Massachusetts for another 4.5 months. Then off to a halfway house in Boston. Then off to a sober house in Boston. All the while under the federal supervision, under the supervision of the federal government. And if I pick the drink back up, I'm going back to jail, and I know it, so I'm staying sober for one reason and one reason only. Fear. Fear has got me sober. And I know that. You know, and we've got a probation officer out there, someone hanging out, a court case hanging over your head. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? I'm staying sober out of fear. That's it. That's it. But thank God that God had another plan. Because on July 21st, 2002, at the 8 month sober mark, God put a man in my life who became my sponsor. A God sponsored, a God inspired, God inspired, God centered, God reliant, God driven, God centered guy. A guy that told me the truth, like I said. That's the day I turned my ugly, miserable, untreated sobriety into recovery. That's the day my world changed yet again. August 21st, 2002, 8 months sober this time around, my whole world changed when this guy came into my life. A guy was the one who reached his hand out to me and said, "Just take it, Dave. Just take my hand. Let me walk you down this path. We got a pathway to power. We got a pathway to power right here." He goes, "All you have to do is let me show you how to do it. Let me show you how to walk down this path. I can do this for you. I can show you what to do. I'll lay my life down. I'll show you." And I was desperate enough at that point in my life, guys, to finally become willing to take some actions that before I never took. And I said to him, "Steve," I go, "you're talking about these steps. When do you want me to start? When should I start these steps?" He said, "When do you want to recover, Dave? When do you want to recover? When do you want to stop hurting? When do you want to stop? When do you want to stop suffering and stop losing and stop destroying everything good? When do you want that to stop?" I said, "I want it to stop now." He goes, "Well, let's go." And don't buy into the bullshit, guys. The book is clear. If you decided you want what we have and you're willing to go to any length to get it, you're ready. You're ready. You're ready now. No one says you have to wait. Nowhere in our literature, nowhere in our history, nowhere in our book does it say you have to wait. Immediate action gets you immediate results. My guy said to me, my sponsor said to me, "You want to follow me down this path?" I said, "Steve, I've been around. I see these steps on the wall. I see them at every meeting I go to. Let me just tell you something, Steve." I said, "I don't understand how these steps work. I don't agree these steps are going to work. I don't even believe they're going to work." I said, "How do you do these steps if you don't understand them? How do you do these steps if you don't agree with them? How do you do these steps if you don't even believe they're going to work?" He said, "That's just it, Dave. You don't have to understand these steps to make them work. You don't believe they're going to work, and you don't even have to believe they're going to work. Work. These steps work no matter what you do." And how do you do them? He goes, "All you have to do is simply become willing to follow a person who has already done them. That's all you have to do, guys." He said, "The greatest promise in this big book is on page 58. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path." He said, "The greatest promise, follow this path." He says, "Can you walk behind me down the path? Can you stay right behind me down the path? Can you follow 3 feet behind me down the path? You don't got to say what I say. You don't got to think what I think. But if you do what I do, you're going to get what I got. Because this is a program of action. Dave, your recovery's not in your head. It's not what you're thinking. It's not what you feel. Guys, trust me. Your mind is not your friend. Your mind is not your friend. It's just that simple. You've got to hear me. It's not your friend. Your mind will tell you a whole lot of things that aren't true, and you'll believe it. I'm telling you. Our recovery does not lie in our heads. He said your recovery lies in your feet. And what steps and what actions are you willing to take? You know? And I said, "Okay, I'll be willing." You know, and I said, "Okay," that was the morning. That's the day I stood at the turning point, you guys. That's when I was at the turning point. Right there. My half measures for 12 years, they'll be able to be nothing. This guy says, "David, how long are you going to come to a 12-step program and ignore the 12 steps? Huh? How long are you going to do that? How long are you going to come here thinking you can handle this thing on your own? Huh? How long are you going to do that? How long are you going to realize that there's no human power on earth that's going to relieve you of your alcoholism? How long are you going to do that, huh? You got a condition, Dave. You got a spiritual condition. It's a spiritual sickness. You got to get that treated. You got to treat it. You got to treat it daily. It's not about not drinking. I didn't come here to learn how to stop drinking, guys. I love drinking. I'll be the first one to tell you I love drinking. From start to finish, I love everything about it. Everything about it. I didn't come to Alcoholics Anonymous to learn how to quit drinking. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous to learn how to not feel the way I felt when I wasn't drinking. How do I not feel that way? You see, guys, because when I put the drink down, everything about my world gets off. It's real uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I got to learn how to feel. Show me how to not feel the way I feel when I'm not drinking. Can you show me that? That's what I got to learn. And that's what this guy taught me. I followed him down the path. I took the actions the way they were laid out. Powerless in the first step. I walked right down these steps. And immediate action gets you immediate results. It didn't take long with this guy. I walked down this path behind him. In a matter of weeks, I was done. He told me, "All we are, all Alcoholics Anonymous is, all this program is, you guys, just so you understand a little bit, all we have here is a program of action. It's nothing but the message delivery business. AA is nothing but the message delivery business. All we are paper boys and paper girls for God. He writes the message and we deliver. I'm just showing up doing my job. I took on a job and I took on that third step and I turned my will and my life over to care of the power greater than myself. I took on a new employer, you know? I was invited by Eric to come here to the Penn Foundation today to speak to you. But I'm here working for God. He sent me to carry a message. I don't know who's supposed to hear it. It's not my business. Not my business. My business is to make it just to show up. Because you see, guys, the only time there's help for the alcoholic who's sick and suffering is when one alcoholic reaches out to another alcoholic for the sole purpose of recovery. And my sponsor told me, you have a gift, Dave. You have a very, very special, special, unique gift. You have the ability to touch the heart, the soul, and the life of another alcoholic who's sick and suffering. And it is a gift. He said, are you going to be a faithful trustee of that gift? Are you going to be a faithful trustee of the gift? Are you going to be a keeper of the gift, Dave? Are you going to go out there and carry the message? Are you going to go to work for God? Are you going to help God to other kids? Or are you going to get too busy again? You're going to get the busies. What's got you so damn busy, Dave? You can't go out and help her? You can't go out and help him? What's got you so damn busy? Oh, you're chasing the money again? You're chasing the property again? You're chasing prestige again? You want to be the courtroom star again? Is that what you're looking for? You had that before. They filled the hole. So besides, Dave, I saw you when you got out of detox. You didn't look too busy to me. You know?
Let's go.
He's right. He's right. Just showing up, carrying the message. I got on my knees this morning. And the 11th step says, praying only for the knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out. I said, God, what do you want me to do for you today? I'd like to know what you want me to do today. He said, I want you to go over to that place called the Penn Foundation. I hear it's a beautiful place. There's a lot of my kids over there, and a lot of them are sick and suffering. And I want you to go over there, and I want you to carry down a message of hope, and a message of love, and a message of recovery. I want you to show up at 2 o'clock with Eric. He'll bring you there. And I want you to stand up, and I want you to carry my message. And I said, okay, go. Well, what do you want me to tell him when I get there? He says, I'll tell you when you get there. Just show up. Just show up, Dave, because that's all your job is. Show up and make it available. Lay your life down. You hear about this, the greatest gift one friend can give is to take a bullet for a friend. My sponsor says that's bullshit. Bullshit. Taking a bullet for a friend. He says a bullet you take once. In Alcoholics Anonymous, you may be asked to lay your life down, and you may be asked to do it time and time and time again. To help one of God's kids who are sick and suffering. You didn't give this gift to the scientists. You didn't give it to the scholars. You didn't give it to the priests, the ministers, the rabbis, or the teachers. You didn't give this gift to the mothers, or the fathers, or the husbands, or the wives. You gave the gift to the drunk. We're the only ones who got it. You see, I wasted my time for a long time bringing my alcohol into a psychiatrist at Mass General Hospital, a psychologist at Mass General Hospital, to groups at Mass General Hospital. I'm not going to get a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience here. I'll get a psychiatric experience here. I'll get a psychological experience here. With any luck, I'll get a pharmaceutical one if I get a script or two written on the way out the door. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to get a spiritual one here. And I need one. I need one, guys. If I'm going to overcome this fear. So what's my message? Why am I standing here tonight? I'm here to let you know you never have to suffer again. Whatever got you through these doors and whatever's got you in these seats here today, whatever brought you to this foundation and whatever brought you to this meeting, I can only assume there must be some element of pain involved. If you're anything like me, and I know you are. I know you are. You didn't come rolling in the crest of the winning streak. You didn't hit the lottery and grab your seat in Alcoholics Anonymous. I know you didn't. You came in here like I came in. Broken, beaten, bloody, destroyed. I'm here to let you know we have a solution. If you're in this room today and you're suffering in sobriety, it never has to be that way. If you're in this room today and you feel like you're sentenced to Alcoholics Anonymous, you feel like you're sentenced to sobriety, you're suffering from that untreated sobriety, that bad case of sobriety, I know what it's like. We're here to let you know it does not have to be that way ever, ever again. We can help you turn your sobriety into recovery, and we can help get you set free. That obsession of drinking drugs, the most powerfully destructive force in my life, you guys. Today, it's gone. I'm not here fighting the fight today. I'm not here hanging in today. Ain't no monkey on my back today, guys. I'm not shooting for midnight today, guys. I've been set free. Somewhere since that day my sponsor came into my life on July 21st, 2002, somewhere between July 21st, 2002 and September 11th, 2010, somewhere in that stretch of time, one day, one morning I woke up and I realized my obsession to drink and drugs, the most powerfully destructive force in my life had been removed. Now, I can't tell you what day it happened. I can tell you about a lot of dates in my life. Birthdays, graduation dates, the day I passed the bar exam, the day I was disbarred. I can tell you about all these days in my life, you know. All these big days in my life. Why can't I tell you about the days of those powerful destructive forces in my life was removed? The reason why I can't tell you when that happened is because I had nothing to do with it. My sponsor said, you just follow these directions, you just take these steps, and you just reach your hand out to the guy who's suffering, and I will remove it. My sponsor said God would remove it. My sponsor said, you just stay about God's business and God will take care of yours. And one day, somewhere along the way, when I wasn't looking, God took it away. And all I did was help God's other kids, like my sponsor told me. You see, guys, I had it all wrong. I thought I had to get my life in order before I could go up there and help God's other kids. No, 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 no. You need to go up there and help God's other kids in order to get your life in order. That's the way this works. And you've got to start now. You've got to start now. I don't know what this foundation is all about. I don't know what this place is all about, to be honest with you. I can only assume you're here to help you. And if you're here as a resident or a patient or whatever you call yourself, my heart and my prayers are with you. I hope you find your way through here and find the success when you leave. But while you are here, if you are here with 7 days, why don't you reach out to that guy with 1 day and show him how you got seven? If you got 4 weeks, why don't you show that guy with 1 week how you got four? I'm not saying don't take him through the steps if you haven't been through them. Hold up on that. But my God, can you help show him where the coffee pot is? Can you introduce a new girl to your friends? Can you bring it to your table and let her sit down and have dinner with you? Can you make it feel a little better? Can you grab that guy who's shaking over there, have a smoke by himself, and bring him into the circus? Can you reach your hand out now? Because that's what this is really all about. And it's got to start now. This is all it is. The message to every business. And the message to you living in a lot of ways. You start with just reaching your hand out. So my message today is simple. And it's simply this. The victory's already happened. The miracle's already happened. It's available to every one of you in this room, and the only decision that you need to make, if you haven't made it already, is whether you want to pay part in a wholesale miracle, whether you want to finally get set free from this thing we call alcoholism, whether you want to finally have the obsession of drinking drugs removed and keep it removed for good and for all, whether you want to finally get set free, the decision's yours. We have a solution. We're making it available. There's men and women in this room, I know many of them are sitting around me right here, right now, whose lives depend upon taking you through these steps, whose lives depend upon carrying you this message, whose lives, our lives depend upon taking your hand, asking you to hold our hand and trust us so we can put your hand in the hand of a power greater than yourself. And one by one by one by one, every problem you walked in here with, somewhere slowly over time, one by one by one by one, will disappear. God will take care of every one of them. Let us show you how to do that. Let us show you how to do that. I guarantee you guys, before you leave.